listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Yeah, mentioned there, Scuttlebutt Network tonight with Tom and Cal. As always, talking about veterans issues. And it was earlier in the week that we had VA Secretary Wilkie on with us talking about what the VA is doing to protect the veterans in those facilities and like the big facility here in Mobile and those people that are doing outpatient here as well. I know that Tom and Cal are tuned into that. We'll be talking about that tonight at 8 o'clock, show by veterans for veterans, so make sure to check that out. All right, mentioned this earlier in the hour, and I'm really interested. I think there's a lot of us out there that are going to be trying to navigate how to work from home. It's easy to say, and I got a bunch of news stories, say, hey, you just work from home. You just telecommute. It's just that easy. Y'all don't live in my house. We're joined by Dr. Jim Gilkey, a nationally recognized expert in instructional design and learning strategy, also the author of Impact Learning, The New Competitive Advantage, What All Executives Need to Know. And he's going to help us navigate setting up our work from home. Right, Dr. Gilkey? It's just as easy as going home and working, right?
Unfortunately, Sean, you said it. It is not that easy, unfortunately. And I think each and every one of us have a different situation at home that we have to deal with.
Yeah, you will hear the big news stories. You'll be like, well, the American workforce is transitioning to working from home. And I picture my house. I have a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old, two dogs, and a full helping of mayhem in my home.
Yes, and I think, as I said, a lot of people are dealing with various types of situations at home, but it is true there is a transition that's occurring based on the current challenge that we're all facing that I think is probably going to continue in that direction, you know, following the finality of the crisis.
Yeah, do you think this is a maybe not test run's not even the right term. It is a transition. Companies that maybe had thought about it, workers that had thought about it, now they're doing it.
Yeah, great point, Sean. I think it is both. I think it is the beginning of a transition, but I think it is a test. At S4 NetQuest, the company that I run, you know, we were pretty good virtually anyway. There were folks that were working from home from time to time, but when we first did it, we're on week 3.5 now, it was a test, and we did have to adjust some things.
Okay, well, talk about those adjustments. Help us understand that. The first, maybe people haven't tested this out. They just, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the company said, hey, you're working from home, get hooked up on the internet and go at it. So what do people need to know?
I think there's two major areas that companies are concerned with. One is the productivity of the individual at home. And if you're a manager, how do you manage that workforce virtually as well? And if you look at the individual, and there's, you know, three or four things I could talk about. I'll just knock them out one by one, and you let me know,
okay,
you know, if you have additional questions about them. Two things to begin with. Get started early. This is if you're working from home. Get started early. You know, when you're going to the office, you normally get up, get out the door early. At home, that can be more difficult. There's a tendency to sleep in, et cetera. Get up, take a shower, and get started. Is one of the first things, Sean.
So you're setting you're still setting that alarm clock, even if you're working from home.
Setting the alarm clock and trying to keep that same kind of pace or situation.
Okay. So y'all hear that? No sleeping in. It's a normal work day. All right, what's next?
Create a dedicated workspace. Now, this is the one that you were talking about. I got kids running around, et cetera.
Yep.
And we'll talk about setting expectations with those that you are going to be in the home, but you do need to create a dedicated workspace. Don't just sit in a comfortable chair by the TV. You need to create a dedicated workspace that allows you to work as you would work in the office as much as possible and does give you a little bit of seclusion.
Okay, so you designed that this right here, this area, be it if you're lucky enough to have a home office or you designate that area, that space is not for anything else. That's work.
That is work. And as we said, get started early. If you got your workspace, it's dedicated. You want to pretend like you're going into the office. People say, now, you know, why would you do that, Jim? That seems a little bit amorphous. But you should associate your home office, this dedicated space we just talked about, you need to associate that with your actual office. And that creates the correct mindset for walking in there early in the morning and being productive.
Is that much of, I mean, this sounds like a little bit of psychology, right? I mean, it's technology, but you're leading with the psychology of going to work like you did before.
That is a really, really good point, Sean. We could talk about technology and how that should be utilized, but I did want to start with the psychological because I think that is the most difficult challenge for people at home right now. It isn't that we don't have technology where not only we can communicate, we can see each other, et cetera. And once you've mastered that, which isn't very difficult, it really comes down to being in my home, the environment that's at my house. Can I be productive like I was in the office? And a lot of that is psychologically based.
Okay. How can, from the flip side of this, that we're in the right mindset, we're doing this thing. How is that judged by our employer? I mean, you probably got to coach employers too to understand, you know, what it is. Are you getting the work out of them you did before?
Great point. So, from a manager standpoint, the first thing is to set expectations. Things like when will you be available for each other? How long will it take for you to get back to one another? And, you know, methods that we should use to notify if we're not going to be available and the type of output and productivity you expect. So from a managing standpoint, the first thing is setting expectations.
All right. So with that being said, if people are meeting those expectations, are they always doing it under the normal? I mean, what do you see out there? Are they doing the normal work hours? Because you're telling us to get up, get cracking like we're going in the office. Are people doing 8 to 5? Or are they doing, you know, 8 to noon and then coming back and doing 3 to 6? Or I mean, are they, you see what I'm saying? Or is that just dictated by different companies? What do you think? What are you seeing in trends out there?
Yeah, I think what the attempt is to replicate your normal workday as much as possible. But that does mean taking breaks. And instead of sitting down with a colleague and having lunch under the current set of circumstances we're under, get out, take a walk, et cetera. But if you're normally a 9 to 5 or you're normally, you know, a 7 to 4, you do want to try to maintain that particular occurrence just like you would if you were going to the office.
Hey, if you're just joining us, talking to Dr. Jim Gilkey, nationally recognized expert in instructional design and learning strategy, and that's what we're all doing. And talk to folks, too, about your book, Impact Learning. What the new competitive advantage, is that, are we learning that now? Or are we going into a crash course on that?
Yeah, it's funny because Impact Learning, you know, what we find is that a lot of corporations, large corporations, don't see learning as a competitive advantage like they do sales and marketing. And the reason that is, Sean, is that in many cases, it's not designed and developed by individuals that know instructional design, that know the psychology of learning. It's done by subject matter experts. And so they end up lecturing to a class, basically. And what we're seeing now is, with impact learning, you need to transform that. The subject matter experts are critical, Sean. Don't get me wrong, but you need to have individuals that know instructional design and how people learn if it's going to be effective. And what we're finding right now under the current set of circumstances is that you can't do classroom anymore. So what we're being asked to do, again, using the impact learning methodology, is transform the current classroom for virtual distribution. And you can't just lecture to a WebEx because that's not engaging and it's not effective.
Yeah, I wonder about that because I watch my children are doing online school with their school, and they do get the quizzes and they, you know, if they show the homework and show that they did the work. But I do worry without being able to see facial expressions. You know, in this case, it's good because we have teachers doing it. But if it was me telling folks how to do something, I would feel like, okay, well, I told y'all, here's the subject matter. I told you the stuff. You know it now. Let's move on to the next chapter.
Yeah, Sean, you hit it on the head. We just transformed one, believe it or not, for Italy, which is one of the hot spots around the globe. And their initial concept of conversion was, we had 2 weeks of classroom, we're going to have 2 weeks of WebEx. Can you imagine sitting in your office at home, listening to somebody lecture 6.5 hours a day for 2 weeks? I mean, I'm sure you can't, Sean. I can.
I'd be asleep.
So you need, yeah. And you're not going to be able to really assimilate that knowledge and what they're trying to teach. So you really need to blend in some different methods there to make it effective.
All right, let's talk some tech here, because you do this all the time. We talked about the psychology. Let's go on the tech. So what software, what computer, I mean, what does somebody need? I mean, I'm sure there's some things that are proprietary to some businesses, but I mean, if somebody's going to be telecommuting, what do they need?
Yeah, so it's probably, Sean, going to be dictated by your organization. But a lot of stuff out there is either free or very, very inexpensive. Two main things that we're using at S4NetQuest. One is Slack, which is kind of like the old instant messaging. I can tell who's online, who's available. Yeah. I can send them an instant message, and they can respond to me instantly. So for day-to-day, hey, I have a quick question, something like Slack is a very, very good piece of technology. Now, when you want to hold a meeting, and you, as you said, facial expressions, all the importance of that personal interaction, then you're looking at things like WebEx or Zoom, and those provide you with the ability to see everybody from a video standpoint, and some of those also allow you things like the ability to chat, the ability to ask questions, the ability to display a document, share and exchange information, et cetera.
Do you see that bandwidth? I mean, that's another question we've been talking about on the show, is this is a big test also for bandwidth, right? I mean, you have the expectations in big office buildings or different areas where work is being done. But now we're putting that daytime stress on the bandwidth, you know, in anywhere Main Street.
Absolutely. Two things there. One is, the first thing I did when I knew I was, you know, moving my team to remote, to work at home, is I all asked them, what's your current bandwidth capabilities? What do you have at home? And I upgraded those that needed it. So that's one thing that companies have to do, because bandwidth is critical. But you may have noticed this. I've noticed it. My team's noticed it. Since everybody is at home, even if you have good bandwidth, the amount of stress that's being put on the system right now is incredible, and I get kicked off on a regular basis, and I have, you know, the highest bandwidth you can have within a household environment.
See, that's the thing. I wonder if we're going to learn, as we transition here into this and more people doing it, there's going to have to be more infrastructure work done. I imagine this is, you know, we've been talking about it for a long time, but this will probably press the companies into adding more bandwidth, you know, at your house and my house.
Agreed, John. I would say that what's going to happen, if people are going to sustain the work-at-home model, I think the bandwidth that somebody's going to need in their house that should be provided by the company to a certain extent is more of a commercial-grade bandwidth, not the ones that, you know, we use to surf the Internet and send out emails.
All right, and what do you think benefits are long-term? When we get in on the other side of this, whenever that is, Lord knows, but Dr. Gilkey, when we get on the other side of this, what do we look like as a workforce? What are the benefits of that?
That is a really, really good question. I think there's a couple benefits. When you look at training and development, which is what S4NetQuest does, what you're going to find is when we transform that using a lot of blended types of learning, it's actually going to be more effective. And what it's going to allow companies to be is more resilient. So once we do these transformations, I don't think they're going to go back to 2 weeks of classroom around the globe. I think they're going to stick with, when it's done correctly and is effective, I think they're going to do more of the virtual blended type of learning. I think that's going to be great. I think the other move is going to be people working at home more. And I think that has both downfalls and benefits. But that is obviously the movement, and I think a lot of that will be sustained once the crisis passes.
All right. Somebody wants to get further educated on all these things we've been talking about with you. Where do they go? I'm sure somewhere online we can go right now and learn more.
You absolutely can. You could start, if you're interested in me or my book, it's jimgilkey.com. That's Jim, GUILKEY. If you're interested in the company, it's S4NetQuest.com.
Jim, thank you for your time, and thanks for the heads up on this. And more of us will have probably more questions going forward as more people go, all right, I'm working at home. How do I navigate this? But first things first, doctor said, set the alarm. Go to work. No sleeping in, right?
That's absolutely right, Sean.
There you go. I appreciate your time. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Be safe.
I will do. Dr. Jim Gilkey joining us here on Midday Mobile. Coming right back, grab some calls and text at 343-0106. Of course, online at fmtalk1065.com. Find us at facebook.com/fmtalk1065. Twitter at fmtalk1065. Occasionally, we put pictures of random things up on our Instagram page as well. That's there. But podcast volume, huge podcast volume. Of course, iTunes, Stitcher, all the podcast platforms. Get that interview that just finished and many others. Y'all check it out.